Welcome to the Round 3 Review Supercoach Coach Podcast. I'm joined again this week by FB Donkey.
G'day everyone, hope you had a good weekend.
We're going to start off, as we do each week, by letting everybody know how we went on the weekend. Mark, how did you score?
I beat you this week, finally. It's taken me 3 weeks and I didn't win by a lot and you had Cruiser. But 23-19, the rankings aren't in yet, but I think that's a pretty decent score looking across my leagues. So I'm hoping to move up a little bit in the rankings. How'd you go, Matt?
Yeah, you beat me, as you've already reported. Cruiser cost me with only 35. Rookies not quite performing as well as they did in previous weeks, but everybody experienced that. So 22.84 for mine, and hopefully I don't slide, but we will see.
Yeah, I reckon that's still a pretty decent score there, Matt.
Big thing is Cruiser went down injured, so I will be looking at either Leuenberger or another Ruckman to stand in.
Let me get this straight, though. Didn't you bring Cruiser in like 2 weeks ago after round one?
I did. So that hurts a little
bit. Did you trade Buddy to Cruiser?
I did. So that hurts even more, actually. But that's okay.
So that was like 90 points today.
Monfries has scored 120 again this week. So he's doing very well.
Port, unbelievable.
The double trade that I did was more reliant on Monfries working out than can't really get too upset at an injury. So I'm just trying to stay happy with Monfries' score, and he'll be probably the prime candidate for a first upgrade. So I'm looking forward to getting a head start there, hopefully.
Just lucky you didn't start with your man Varco as well, because unbelievably, Cruiser and Varco both down in the first quarter, subbed off, and I know a lot of teams actually had both of those guys, and that would have really affected their scoring this week, and they're going to have to make two trades because both of them look like they're long-term injuries.
Yeah, and that actually happened to me in a lot of my teams for non-Supercoach. So like Centrebet, Sportsbet got hit by Cruiser and Varco double. So I think I'll not be bragging about those other comps for a while.
Yeah, I got hit by Cruiser in most of those as well, man. Heroes from the week. Now my heroes was all of the Essendon team getting behind James Hird. Seeing him sing the song at the end of the game, that was a very emotional moment as a Bomber fan. And it was a pretty intense game to be watching because we were so far behind and so much emotionally on the line for us. Yeah, it was just really great hard-fought win by the boys. And my man, Paddy Ryder, kicking the winning goal and getting another 50 points or something. I had Bartel do it the week before and Ryder this week. So riding my luck on the Friday night I did. So Paddy Ryder, definitely a hero. Nathan Fyfe, 129, also a hero. And did you hear about my man Cochin today? 139.
Yeah.
He was an absolute star against the Doggies with 37 touches, I think.
Yeah, but Dustin Martin, even more of a star with 150. So
he showed up in the second half.
Yeah, he finally ran out of game well, so that was nice. And it was good to see Dean Cox, 171. We haven't seen him pump out a big score yet, so that was his first of the year. And I guess a bit to be expected against Melbourne. But it was very good to see Josh Kennedy, for all the new owners of Josh Kennedy, welcome
like
to the
me.
Club. 136.
Yeah.
He's awesome to support it.
Yeah, very happy to bring someone in and they score 136 on debut, mate. So he doesn't play Melbourne every week, though.
Now, on to the villains for the round, Mark. So Cruiser's an obvious one for mine. We had Pittard slightly underperform with 41, but you can't get too upset with the rookie.
And O'Meara 40 as well. So, but I think everyone would have had Pittard and O'Meara on the ground pretty much after their recent performances. So I guess that one affected everyone.
Dangerfield's 84 is probably...
Yes. Yeah, 84 from Danger, when I could have had... I mean, I guess Job scored even less, and I was tossing up between Danger and Job, so I guess I didn't really lose there, but like...
Second sub-100
Josh Kennedy
score.
Or something. It's not good, and the other one was only a 107, and he kicked basically the winning goals to get the 107, so he got a bit of a head knock in that third quarter and went off for a little while, and luckily slotted through a very, very late goal, but yeah, just wasn't himself today. And I think if Adelaide had won, things might have been a bit different. But I am a little bit worried about Danger, but probably got other things that I need to fix in my team.
Yeah.
A lot of people's villain this week would have been Zorko, who's posted his third crap score in a row. And people had very high hopes on him in the preseason. I think they paid over $500,000 for him. He averaged 105 last year and just hasn't shown it at all so far. Now, I think Brisbane have Melbourne in a couple of weeks, so maybe he might have a good score on the horizon. But, I mean, they played the Suns on the weekend. They won. You would have been definitely expecting a lot more from Zorko this week.
That's why I just don't like taking a punt on those players with the second-year Blues. Hopefully he picks it up for those that have him. On to a review of the weekend's games, Mark. Fremantle Dockers... v Essendon Bombers was the first one, and you'd be obviously very happy that the Bombers took the win. But what was of fantasy relevance from the game was probably Watson with only 67. So
he's going to be cheap.
Yeah, in a few rounds' time, people might be looking to do an upgrade in the midfield and with him.
Pavlich, 59, also going to be cheap in a few weeks.
I'm not too sure whether we'll actually be advocating getting on Pavlich yet in a few weeks. Hopefully his fitness and form picks up a little bit, but we'll be wanting to see a bit of a form turnaround before we consider selecting him, because he's playing way, way, way out of form at the moment.
Yeah, he absolutely is. I mean, you would have expected him to kick a few goals on the weekend, although in saying that, Jake Carlisle was unbelievable on the weekend. Like, he went to a whole nother level this season, so maybe it might have been a bit of the Carlisle effect. They're probably the other relevant player there. Dyson Heppel was on about 30 at three-quarter time and managed 93 with a big last quarter, including a really important goal, so good on him. Mundy just under 100, Griffin just under 100, so those guys were serviceable. Moving on to Saturday, mate. North Melbourne, when I didn't actually get to see this game, but I was looking over and North were in front by three or four goals, and then they were on the same score and Sydney were in front by nearly 10 goals at one point. So, yeah, North fading in the third quarter again would have been very disappointing for their supporters.
Mumford with only 65, surely got to move him on if...
Yeah, you cut your losses, I guess.
Yeah, Kieran Jack, 68, so he's a premium to look out for a price drop. He's performed very well in the first two rounds and looks like he'll be on track to improve on his last season again this year, but on the weekend against North Melbourne didn't quite score well with only 17 disposals.
Dan Hannabury, I think the last year's winner who we had on the show a few weeks ago, I think he was advocating Dan Hannabury pretty strongly, and he pumped out a 140 after a big one last week. So Michael would be pretty happy about that. Josh Kennedy, 136, looks absolutely fantastic. People who picked him would be very happy at the moment.
On to the Demons v West Coast game. The Demons got pumped again by about 90 points, so things aren't looking much better for them. But on the Supercoach front, Matt Jones actually scored pretty well with a 24 disposal effort and 77 Supercoach points. Turlick at 62 and Viney decent again with 71. So all should be in line for a pretty good price increase.
Yeah, some people were thinking about trading Jones to a Crouch this week or something, but they won't be thinking that anymore. Jones seems to be settled in that 22 and looks pretty good.
Selwood finally produced a ton with a 121, but Shuey would have disappointed owners again with only 86 Supercoach points.
So would you be moving Shuey on, considering he hasn't got going at all this year?
I think if you held him this round as well, you probably would have been holding him with the assumption that he'll get better and you're hoping that Kerr's going to return and that'll help too. So Kerr played his first game, only had 19 touches, and Shuey did still manage 26 disposals. So his DT score was all right, 112. He just couldn't quite turn his disposals into points. So I think you'd just be hoping that his efficiency and his general scoring around ground improves in the coming weeks. So I'd say if you held him to continue to keep him.
Back onto Saturday afternoon, GWS St Kilda. David Armitage, 175. Maybe this is his breakout year. He's probably more relevant to draft teams than I think the salary cap competitions. And it was against GWS. But big boy McAvoy again, 139. He's had a really strong start to the season. So would you think about going maybe Cruiser to McAvoy, or Leuenberger's just too obvious?
To be honest, I didn't get to watch too much of Leuenberger's performance. So I might want to have a little bit of a closer look before I make that decision. But I saw that he didn't quite hit the ton, so the worry about injury and performing coming off that injury is still there. So I'll have to look throughout the weekend, but Leuenberger, McAvoy and Goldstein would be the other option as well.
Sure. Nick Riewoldt's also had a pretty strong start to the year, so we might have skipped over him a little bit and not given him as much credit as he's due, given the fact that he is a Supercoach royalty. I know he's got his knee issues, but still manages to score pretty well.
Now to the Cats v Carlton game. Woo! Cats.
I can hear the smile.
Yeah, that was a good game to go to and thoroughly enjoyed the win by the boys. On the Supercoach front, we already talked Cruiser and Varco disappointing with their injuries. From the Geelong front, Harry Taylor scored 103 and kicked a couple of goals, but we've seen he's a bit too up and down, but it was interesting to see him kick some goals, Mark, and notch up Supercoach points that way.
Yep, Chappie down for 65 after a really hot start to the year, so we might be able to see him cheaper in the near future, which could work out pretty well. Jimmy Bartel, just solid again, 106. Your man Christensen's had 2 weeks. The first game, he was quite slow but didn't really score very well, but the last 2 weeks, he's looked really good.
Joel Selwood will be in for a price drop after 74, ooh, being tagged by Carrots. And
I love having Joel in my team, so get on it.
We got to look at Steve Johnson as well, hopefully falling in price. He only scored 75, but that was his first game back and already notched up 26 disposals. So he'll be in for some big weeks in the coming games. And we know he likes to beat up on the smaller teams. So keep your eye out for Steve Johnson for an upgrade.
From Carlton, Sam Rowe, actually had him on my field this week and notched up 77. I think I got a bit lucky with Cruiser going down there, and so he spent a bit more time in the ruck, but he actually looked pretty good up forward. He looked way better than Casbolt has and looks better than Hampton on the weekend. He clunked a couple and really provided a target. So actually think Rowe might keep his spot, especially with Cruiser going down for a little while. So it'll be interesting to see what Carlton does with the rucks. I presume that Warnock will probably come in this week.
Now, to the Suns v Lions game, and Pierce Hanley is absolutely killing it. God. 26 disposals and a goal, 141 Supercoach points. And
the winning goal as well, bonus points.
If you're sitting on Pierce Hanley, you're sitting on a gold mine at the moment because he's making great points for the price that you paid. And
surely someone goes starting to him.
Yeah, you would think that he'll start getting tagged. He hasn't really dealt with that. Even last year, even though he had those quality damaging games, he was inconsistent enough for coaches just to leave him and not actually have to worry about putting the tag on. But yeah, this year, if he gets a bit more consistent, which it looks like he sure as hell is, then coaches might look to actually send someone to him week to week. Daniel Rich owners will be happy if they actually stuck with him, 118. And Brent Maloney.
They'll be very frustrated if they did trade him out, because I know a lot of people would have this week. But yeah, Maloney, I think he was like 50 at three-quarter time and managed with 160. So really got lucky by the fact that it was a close game and rose to the occasion at the end. Leuenberger definitely looked tired. He didn't dominate the game. Got some bonus points towards the end because it was close and he sort of got a kick into the forward 50. I think that 93 and 102, I think last week, that's enough for 300,000. That's absolutely brilliant scoring. So even if you average 93, you'd be really happy with that result, I think. So I think I'll definitely be getting Leuenberger this week and be moving around and making sacrifices in order to do so. Other player from Brisbane that I just wanted to mention was Sam Mays on debut, 150,000 forward mid eligible, but he was really impressive from what I've seen. So hopefully he can keep his spot.
Yep, 21 disposals, 72 Supercoach points. Was good to see old Supercoach star and Jonathan Brown kicking 5 goals and notching up 129 Supercoach points. So it was a kick back to the old days. Jared Brennan scored 146, which is pretty big in the back line, but he's so inconsistent and he's very frustrating last week. Only scored 15 points. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Dixon, again, I know a lot of people would have brought him in this week as well, and he looked fantastic until he injured his ankle and got subbed out of the game. So keep an eye on his injury. But basically, if you brought him in this week, just really unlucky because, again, he looked really, really good.
Tigers v Bulldogs, and we've seen that when Richmond become a power, a top four power in the AFL, Martin Deludio Cochin might be the next Ablett, Bartel, Corey from a few years ago. They absolutely killed it in the midfield. Martin had 35 disposals, 2 goals. Deludio had 27, 3 goals, and Cochin had 36 disposals, 150, 140, 139 Supercoach points respectively. So they led the charge for the Tigers, and Supercoach owners would have been very happy. They're all very popular selections.
And Marek as well, 120. People that paid full price for Marek would be very happy as well because he started really strongly this year. And Chris Newman also posted his first good score of the year for the Bulldogs side. I know a lot of people thought it was a good idea to bring Tom Liberatore in this week after losing 2 130s. Yeah, 42. Didn't really work out. Minson started really slowly and got 94, so if you did jump on him because of the same reason, you'd actually be fairly happy with that.
Yep, Brett Goods again, solo with 85, and Kobe Stevens played the full game, and we saw why. Well, we've been rating him as a expensive rookie because he scored 84 with 19 disposals and a goal. So he's looking good for those coaches that kept the faith. And I think after Crouchy's score, which we'll talk about in a little bit, people are unlikely to go Stevens down to Crouch this week, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Now to Magpies v Hawks, which was a very good tight tussle for a while before Hawks sort of took it away at the end there.
They won by 55 points in the end. Unbelievable considering how close it was for a lot of that game.
Luke Hodge, man, it's great to see him playing some good footy again. 31 touches, 2 goals, and best on ground performance.
Did you see those goals that he kicked? They were just instinctive, throw the ball on the boot. One of them was like 55 out. He's torped it. Just had no time to think about it or look at the goals. It was just, I really wish that he was fit because I remember how much fun it was to have Luke Hodge in my team because, geez, fun to barrack for and watch because he's just a super player and a great bloke and you can understand why the Hawks love him.
Yeah, at 460K, and still won't tempt you in, Mark, after that performance.
Probably just because of his injury, and I'm not really looking to bring anyone in at the moment. So, that's enough to keep me out of it, even though he scored 100 last week. So, I might just, as a football fan, I just hope he does really well. A little bit annoyed that Rioli scored so high because he was sitting really low for a lot of the game and ended up with 82. Yeah. So, after two big scores in the first 2 weeks, I was really hoping to be able to pick him up cheap. Jed Anderson, rookie, 92 this week, which was fantastic. Yeah.
Brad Hill, 58, despite the two goals. Ruffy owners, you'd be looking to move him on, I'd say, 3 goals and only manage 71 because playing more time in the forward line, and that's why we talked down his prospects this year. So I think he's a definite move on.
But Franklin owners would be very happy. Now, you're one of them, aren't you, Marcus?
No, I traded them for Matthew Kruse, don't you remember?
Right. We talked about this earlier, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant.
Unfortunate. I'll be jumping on Buddy very, very soon because after round 7, they have a great run into the bye. So, yeah, I'll hopefully be turning someone into Buddy. That is my first upgrade, I guess. Pendlebury from the other side. At halftime, he was on like 85 and I had the captain on him. So I was absolutely wrapped at halftime. And then, look, he did his best, but Collingwood just got pumped in the second half. So really didn't have the opportunity to get the big points on the board. Dane Swan just 91. And Sam Dwyer, only 68. I know everyone brought him in this week, but... Yeah. He looked fantastic for 68 points. Like, he will keep his spot in that team.
I'm glad to have brought him in for Kane Mitchell this week. So, I'm looking forward to the price increases that are coming in. You're looking at bringing in Buddy Franklin, Mark, but I may look to make my first upgrade elsewhere if Joby goes down with his score this week and Franklin still stays a little bit over. So, Sam Dwyer might be the man to help me do that. I know we always look to the back line for those fallen premiums because those defenders cop the tag and generally torpedo down in price. Heath Shaw only scored 51 this week, so be looking to him in future weeks for an upgrade. And Daisy Thomas, still building his fitness, only 59. He available back in the forward line again this year. He might be a late season bolter like Dane Beams was last year, so keep an eye on that.
Yes, agree with that. Now, in the showdown in Adelaide, Port won.
Yeah, what? I was watching the game and they kept pulling ahead and I just didn't understand what was happening, but the Crows never came.
And 9 points was actually flattered the Crows in the end. Port, really kicked away and looked fantastic once they got the lead. They sort of looked out of it at one point as well. Now, Justin Westhoff dominated the first 2 weeks. Some people would have looking to bring him in and you can't predict that he was going to go bang again. 150 seems to be loving the new coach or the new fitness regime he's been on over summer because something has changed at Justin Westhoff's house.
I don't know, Mark. Can he keep this up? He's really taken his game to the next level and he might actually continue this throughout the season. So
that's 3 games in a row and 1 in a reasonably tough clash. So, I was very skeptical going into this week, but I mean, you can't knock him for posting out those massive numbers. Ollie Wines. Now, I got screwed by the rolling lockout and was a little bit worried that Wines might be sub, and I just took Stevens because Stevens was definitely not going to be the sub. So I only lost about 35 points on it, but Ollie Wines just dominated again, and he looks fantastic. I don't think he'll be the sub in the future because he can seriously run out of game.
Travis Boak killed it. El Capitano, 30 disposals, but importantly, 3 very good goals. Hamish Hartlett, owners would have been happy, rebounded from last week's performance with 28 disposals in the midfield and 118 points. And Chad Wingard is continually performing and is looking like this is a breakout year for him.
Absolutely. Jake Need, for those that have got him, 76 after 90-odd last week. That's awesome going into the prize rises. I really wasn't expecting quite so much from Need, and I thought he might be the sub here and there, so he's sort of turned out really well. Campbell Heath, 77, also scored really well. A little bit worried that Stevenson and Pittard didn't score so well, but they might be the slow burners, and Heath will be the first one out of them, depending on the next couple of weeks. Now, Adelaide, Taylor Walker did well, 93. Owners wouldn't be ecstatic about that. Wright, 82, again, not ecstatic, was there. Jacobs, 106. I think Jacobs has just posted those just over 100s every week so far. Really not a lot of Supercoach stuff to like from Adelaide.
Luke Brown with 12 and really struggled on Wingard. So
my wife was wondering who to bring in her back line this week. She needed a rookie. I said, I've got Luke Brown. He seems to be going all right after 97 last week. So she said, all right, I'll trust you. I'll put him in. And then he scored 12 for her on the field. So
somebody's got not the couch happy. Tonight.
Luckily, the couch is very comfortable, man. But Brad Crouch, I think we're expecting a little bit more from him, which is maybe a bit unfair in his second game. Like, Wines and Viney also struggled in their second game. So, look, he could definitely still come good and post good numbers for the rest of the year. And the talent that he's got, I don't doubt that that'll probably happen.
Yeah, and he had 18 disposals too and couldn't turn into many points. So, for what it seemed to me, was just struggled a bit more with the decision-making and the pace of the game and didn't make the most of his possessions. So, you'd hope that, and you'd think that that would increase as well. And like you said, Mark, it's a pretty harsh yardstick that we mark him by, but he's priced, he's not overpriced as well. He's bottom-priced player, so 50 points even for a player like Jones, I'm happy with. So at that price, you can't complain at all. Anyway, that's this week's games all wrapped up, Mark.
It's going to be a good week, mate. I'm going to have a smile on my face all week after beating you.
Yeah, so hopefully you guys have some good news to brag to the office about in the coming days, and we'll be back with our trading episode on Wednesday night when we have a bit more information as the week progresses.
Our trading advice will be get Leuenberger, I think.
Yeah, I think that will be the theme of the show, as it sort of was last week as well. So anyway, all the best for the upcoming round. And don't forget, head over to supercoachcoach.com.au and you can register to a chance to join our group, where we'll be giving away $1,000 in cash money to the highest ranked supercoacher at the end of the year. And of course, we're still giving out $100 weekly to the best article published on our website. So head over to supercoachcoach.com.au to get in the discussion.
Absolutely.